Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. I want to talk to you this morning about the seven I am statements of Jesus. The Gospel writer John recorded seven occasions when Jesus made a statement in which he made a clear claim as to who he is. They are, of course, what we know as the seven I am statements. The first, from John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Secondly, from John 8:12, I am the light of the world. The third, from John 10:7, I am the door of the sheep. Then a few verses on in the same chapter, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The fifth is in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. The sixth is in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the seventh, John 15:5, I am the vine. I want to have a look at each of these statements with you this morning and try to understand what Jesus was saying. Recently, as he spoke on some of the parables, John drew our attention to the question that Jesus asked his disciples. Do you understand? John commented on how important it was for the disciples who were with Jesus to understand what he was saying as he taught his followers, but also how important it is that we understand what he was saying then and what he is saying now. Let me also remind you of something that the Apostle John himself said as he came to the end of his gospel. It's in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, although John refers to the signs that Jesus did, I believe we can legitimately say that the things that Jesus said and which are included in the gospel are included for the same reason, that we might believe who Jesus is and believing might have life in his name. So here we go with the seven I am statements. Number one, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 6, verse 35. I believe that those who actually heard Jesus make this statement would have had two things in mind. They had just seen Jesus miraculously feed a massive, teeming, ravenous crowd using nothing but a few loaves and fishes. God had miraculously provided bread in the desert for the people of Israel when they were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years after escaping from Egypt. You could say that the folk there had bread on the brain, but this is the point. Both the feeding of the crowd of which they were a part and the feeding of the Israelites with manna in the wilderness were intended to point to a greater reality. And we must remember that Jesus was speaking from personal experience. He had lived in the wilderness for 40 days without food and water. But when the devil tempted him to change the stones into bread, he reminded the devil of the word of God, which says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. When we read of miraculous feeding of the 5,000, we read that it was after Jesus had been teaching the crowd for the whole day that he had compassion on them and spoke to the disciples about the need to provide something for them to eat. But at the beginning of the day, he had compassion on them, but it was directed to their spiritual need. And at the end of the day, he showed further compassion on them because he knew they needed something for their bodies. They needed food. And what Jesus is saying is that it is necessary to get our priorities right. Jesus tells them not to long for physical bread, even if that bread is provided by God himself. Rather, they are to long for and live for the bread that comes down from heaven and gives light to the world and life to the world. What is this bread of life? It is Jesus himself. And just as physical bread satisfies our deepest hunger and cravings, so Jesus satisfies the longing of our hearts. He is the one who fills us, our deepest joy and most satisfying pleasure. Without Jesus, even the most sumptuous pleasures of the world are empty and unsatisfying. With Jesus, we can be content even in the midst of poverty. Charles Spurgeon said, "I have heard of some good old woman in a cottage who had nothing but a piece of bread and a little water. But lifting up her hands, she said as a blessing, 'What? All this? And Christ too?' The old woman in the cottage truly understood what it meant that Christ is the bread of life. He satisfied her even though she had nothing but a piece of bread and a little water. Jesus' I Am statement that he is the bread of life is a profound reminder to us that our only hope for joy and satisfaction is in him. He truly is the bread of life." And so we move on to the second I Am statement. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. This is truly a profound I Am statement by Jesus. Consider all the times that God gave light to his people. He led the people of Israel by a pillar of blazing fire through the wilderness. After Moses beheld the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai, his face was so bright, shone so brightly, that he had to wear a veil. Scripture says that God dwells in unapproachable light. And yet here, Jesus is putting himself in a different category altogether. He provides spiritual light for anyone who follows him. Those who don't know Christ walk in darkness, stumbling into landmines of sin and destruction. They don't walk in the path of peace and joy and righteousness. They do what is right in their own sin-blinded eyes. But we who know Christ have had the light of Christ shine in our hearts. God has opened our eyes to see and behold the glory of Christ. And we now walk in the good, well-lit paths of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the light of the world? Aren't you grateful that even though you were once blind, now you can see? And the third I Am statement. "I truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." John chapter 10, verse 7. Let me paint a picture for you. As you know, sheep are sometimes held in a pen, an enclosure. And this was so in the days of Jesus. The pen would be constructed of dry stones, very much like the dry stone walling we find in this country, up in Yorkshire, for example. There would have been a gap for the sheep to go through into the sheepfold, as it was called, to be kept in safety through the night hours. But there was no gate across the gap. The shepherd himself would lie across the opening through the night and become the door, preventing his sheep from escaping and protecting them from wild animals. Time and again in the Old Testament, God calls himself the shepherd and his people sheep. God is the good, faithful shepherd, and he keeps vigilant, zealous watch over his sheep. But when Jesus says that he's the door of the sheep, he's making a startling claim about himself. He's saying that the only way to be part of God's people, God's flock, is through him. There is only one path through which we can come to God as our shepherd, and that is through Jesus. The glorious news, good news, is that when we embrace Jesus as our joy and treasure, we enter through him and become one of God's people, one of his sheep. And when we become one of God's people, one of his sheep, God himself becomes our shepherd. If you have entered into the sheepfold through Jesus, God is your shepherd. Isn't that precious? Isn't that sweet news? He is guiding you, keeping watch over you, caring for you, providing for you. You have entered into God's flock through the door of Jesus, and now you have the living God as your shepherd. And you can say along with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so the fourth I am statement. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10, verse 11. Excuse me. This is such a glorious, affection-stirring truth. Jesus is the door, as we have seen, and by entering through him, I become one of God's treasured sheep. And Jesus is also the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. I desperately need a good shepherd to lead me, to guide me, to protect me, to keep me from wandering into sin. I need a shepherd to vigilantly watch over me as I walk through the valley of death. And more than anything else, I need a shepherd who will sacrifice his life to save me from sins. A shepherd who will lay down his life for me in order to purchase me for his own. And Jesus is all of those things, but so much more. Aren't you grateful that Jesus is your shepherd? He cares about every detail of your life, no matter how mundane. And everything you experience must first pass through the loving hands of your shepherd. John Piper said, "I might indeed have to lack many things in following the shepherd, but I will never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for me." Or as Psalm 84 verse 11 puts it, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." If Jesus is your good shepherd, you can be absolutely sure that he won't withhold a single good thing from you. And what sweet, wonderful news that is. The fifth I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. John 11, 25. This is staggering. Jesus' I am statement here goes far beyond simply promising eternal life to all who believe in him, though that's certainly included. When Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life, he's saying that explosive resurrection power is found in him. He's saying that he has mastery over death itself. He's saying that all who believe in him will one day experience a bodily resurrection. Our eternal destiny will not be as souls without bodies. When Christ returns, we will receive new, glorious, imperishable resurrection bodies. And only Jesus, the King of Kings, has the power to make this happen. It is Jesus who will bring these words to pass. "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 to 57. Aren't you overwhelmingly grateful that Jesus will give you a new, imperishable, immortal resurrection body. He truly is the resurrection and the life. The sixth I am statement. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Jesus is gloriously, inclusively, and wonderfully exclusive. Jesus invites everyone to come to the Father so that they might receive eternal life, experience the power of the resurrection, know God as their shepherd, and walk in the brilliant light that Jesus provides. But Jesus also offers himself as the only way to experience these incredible realities. But I believe we have to be very careful to see what the Bible actually says, particularly when looking at the words of Jesus. And then we have to be very careful about what we say. Many commentators and preachers say that there is only one way to God. I'm saying that on the basis of Scripture, that is not true. That might alarm you. Does that come as a shock to you? It shouldn't. It's not what Jesus was saying in this I am statement. He is saying that he is the only way to God as Father. The Greek word here is patera, which has only one meaning, and that is Father. And checking over 60 translations, not one of them uses any other word than Father. And the truth as taught by the Bible is that all pathways through life lead to God, but they lead to God as judge and not as Father. Jesus, and only Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. It is through him and only through him that we can come to God as Father, and that speaks about relationship. Salvation comes exclusively through him, and he offers it freely to all. This makes Jesus infinitely worthy of praise. He is God's only solution for our sin problem, and for that reason deserves all praise and honor and glory. The seventh I am statement. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Has there ever been a clearer statement about the life-giving power of Jesus and our absolute dependence upon him? Just as a branch can't survive if it's not connected to the vine, so we can't survive if we're not connected to Christ. Spiritual life courses through Jesus. And as long as we're connected to Christ, his spiritual life also flows through us. Isn't that an absolutely mind-boggling thought? Because we are in Christ, the life of Christ himself flows to us and through us to others. We truly do have access to the divine, world-changing power of Christ. The opposite reality is also true, in that apart from Christ, we can do absolutely nothing of true spiritual value. It's only in and through Jesus Christ that we can honor God. And the implication is that we absolutely must stay close to Christ. We must regularly draw near to him through prayer, through Bible reading, through fellowship with other believers, and the other spiritual disciplines he has given us. Jesus is the true vine, and when we abide in him, we bear much fruit. But if we neglect to abide in him, we'll shrivel up spiritually. People talk about living life to the full. little realizing that it is only when we abide in Christ that we can do so. Jesus' I am statements are not intended to be received as mere intellectual knowledge. Rather, they should motivate us to worship Jesus for who he is, because they reveal his glorious character to us. He is the bread of life that satisfies our deepest longings. He is the light that shines on the path of righteousness. He is the door into the people of God, into the family of God. He is the good shepherd who cares for the people of God. He is our hope of a resurrection. He is the only way to God as Father. He is the vine through which we experience the power of God. These I am statements are often linked together, but there is another also cited by the Apostle John, which I want to quote and refer to because I believe it sums up all that Jesus said about himself and more in the sayings we have looked at. I refer to John 8, verse 58, where we read that Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." I believe that I can do no better than to quote W.H. Van Doren. He said, "Here the Saviour claims with a double amen the incommunicable name," Exodus 3:14. It signifies unchangeable essence and everlasting duration. This is the name which the Jews for centuries had not dared to utter. Silently, they had read it, used another in its stead, revered and adored it. And now the humble Nazarene Jesus openly assumes and claims it. Doran went on, "God's word to Moses implies the impossibility of a full definition of the name, or that finite creatures could not comprehend it if given. He does not say, 'I am their light, life, guide, strength, or tower.' He sets his hand to a blank that faith may write her prayer. Are believers weary? I am their strength. Are they poor? I am their riches. Are they in trouble? I am their comfort. Are they sick? I am their health. Are they dying? I am their life. I am justice and mercy, grace and goodness, glory, beauty, holiness, perfection, all sufficient through eternity. And I say, that is Jesus. And I also say, Amen." May God bless you. Amen.